We have a very serious episode today about AI. AI, the good, bad, and the ugly. Our expert is Asha Castleberry-Hernandez, who is first U.S. national security expert and foreign policy executive. She's a strategist, author, former Biden-Harris political appointee, Army veteran, and academic professor.
There's a lot of information when it comes to artificial intelligence. Everybody's trying to get a good handle of what exactly we need to do as far as dealing with artificial intelligence, and there's different approaches.
Together, we will confront a worldwide threat and offer actionable steps to preserve you and your loved ones' peace.
All of a sudden, all the lights are going to go out. Your cell phone's going to be dead.
Every day, things are shaping up to the end of time as we know them.
They're going to be at the top of the pile while the rest of us are completely decimated.
There is an increased threat, unlimited access to Facebook, Instagram.
Subscribe and you will be first on the list to receive the next episode, How to Maintain Peace While Facing a Worldwide Threat. Good afternoon, Asha. Welcome to the show. Today, we're going to pick your brain about the good, bad, and the ugly of AI. That should get you going. So let me ask one question. Please just tell us in your experience how you even got involved with AI or how you learned about it and what it looks like in the government.
Thank you so much, Sean, for allowing me to join this wonderful program again. I enjoyed my time, discussing, the future of U.S.-China relations. And just as far as looking at that relationship, a lot of it has to do with competition and adversarial behavior, and especially when it comes to two domains, economics and technology. So as a national security practitioner, it's extremely important to me that I monitor emerging threats or emerging industries like artificial intelligence, and find out ways on how does the American people adapt to these to this emerging industry. And boy, there's a lot of information when it comes to artificial intelligence, just a variation of different subtopics. And what you're seeing in not just the United States, but around the world, where everybody's trying to get a good handle of what exactly we need to do as far as dealing with artificial intelligence. And there's different approaches. Some of it involves cooperating with it. It's actually beneficial when it comes to our careers or just our way of life in the 21st century. Some of it deals with competition, where when it comes to, when it comes to R&D, as well as dealing with machine systems that we are trying to advance in society, how do we compete against our near-peer competitors in that aspect and other countries as well? And some of it is adversarial, threatening to us, where how do we stop the machine systems from taking over us? How do we stop foreign actors from using it against us? So there's a lot of figuring out happening here. And it's not just necessarily, where we have to work with the world. There's a big push where the public and private sector have to work together in order to figure these approaches out.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does that work into threats as you see it? What I would call this podcast, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, on purpose. How do you see AI within your world operating as a threat right now?
Yes, thank you so much. Well, when you look at human behavior or human consumption when it comes to technology, unfortunately, there's a side of us where we will allow it to take over us. So there was a lot of studies and reports and assessments that there's a possibility of that. So what you start to see, especially coming from government, is how can we better regulate artificial intelligence, right? From preventing that from happening. And what are ways we could do to work very closely with the private sector as far as like dealing with, law, habits, all sorts of strategies that we need to come together as far as addressing that particular issue. It sounds kind of silly, but it's something that definitely is ongoing in terms of how can we prevent the machine taking over us. What's really interesting, I grew up, I'm an 80s, 90s kid. So I grew up, watching a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies like, you know, Total Recall, Terminator. So it kind of reminds you of that.
Good stuff. Right,
in a way, of how do we have to one day fight the machine, because the machine pretty much took over us or wants to, you know, take over society. So that's actually a real concept that many, you know, policymakers and the private sector is trying to prevent. There are some policymakers that believe that the private sector doesn't mind that. So that's, you know, the extreme look of it. But that's one way in terms of a potential threat that, you know, when you kind of characterize it, is how can we better regulate the behavior of artificial intelligence to where it's not threatening to us?
Is that a government thing where the government's looking for ways to regulate that, from your experience?
Yes, yes. And they have to work with the private sector in doing so. But they also, too, have to work with our foreign actors as far as addressing this issue. Now, here's the other side of it where it could be threatening, too, as well. And we've seen plenty of examples of this in the 21st century. When you look at, for instance, our near-peer competitor, the PRC, they have an issue when it comes to practices that we don't agree on, like a lack of transparency, a lack of accountability, collection on people, and they could use that information against them. So a perfect two examples to explain that behavior is, for instance, the Chinese at one point were selling surveillance systems around the world. And there's this one country in Central America that actually bought those surveillance systems. Actually, it was in South America. And what they've noticed over time, those surveillance systems are actually collecting data on people. And the PRC was utilizing that data against the government, against the people in that specific country. And as a result, that specific country banned that those systems, those PR systems, and also condemned what China was doing in terms of utilizing those systems. And that story alone, many people tried to speak to Israel about the same thing, saying, hey, do not buy these surveillance systems from the PRC, because there's been a lot of accusations out there that they utilize those systems to collect data on the people in other sensitive areas, like what we talked about with the balloon, right, situation in drones, right?
AI might be used in lawsuits and in those kind of things, making legal policy. And there's been some stuff out there that AI is capable of lying or misinformation. So have you experienced any of that in terms of where they're trying to lay down policy or anything in the government?
Yes. So there's been some accusations or just some major implications involving just like as they're collecting data, the data that they collect tends to be discriminatory based on the algorithms and has actually created legal, you know, issues or cases you know, as a result of that behavior. So that's the threatening part too. Another extreme version of this, artificial intelligence is also considered threatening in terms of outsourcing or providing jobs to machines, right? So looking at the fact that in the future, instead of having a judge as a human, we can have AI play as a judge, right?
Or oh, act boy. As a judge. That's peachy.
Yes. So people are thinking ahead and you know, there's a lot of assessments that counter that potential approach, saying that there's no way because they don't have the cognitive human development, you know, to really create a good judgment on legal cases. So absolutely, there is, you know, some legal implications involving artificial intelligence as of now, but also looking at the future approach of it, you know, taking over being a judge in a courtroom.
Mm. Yeah, well, they have immediate access to all the data that's out there. The question is, if they're not human, could they evaluate it in the right way? So somebody just doesn't get hung for something they didn't really do because it's just black and white instead of any gray in the deal, right?
Right.
Do you see the government at your level using any particular AI platforms right now?
Well, of course. So here's the good side about it. It's inevitable that everyone's going to use it, and they are using it now. You know, you have, for instance, as small as, you know, virtual chat rooms, virtual assistants. You also have these apps where you could utilize it for writing skills, you know, creating reports. At times you'll see, especially in government, do not use those apps or use those machine systems because they're not credible. And we can tell that you did not write it. So, but again, you see it evolves to where, oh, you can use it, but be careful. So it's like, it reminds me of a cryptocurrency where in the beginning, no, you cannot. It's a toxic industry. But then the evolution of it is where you can see as we're adapted to it, we're no longer saying no more. Okay, you can use it, but be careful. But here's this is how you can better safeguard yourself from these systems or these practices online. So you are seeing where, you know, AI is becoming more of a useful tool. And in fact, the government is pushing for more of the American people to be part of the innovation aspect of it so that we can be able to compete against China when it comes to developing, you know, your future AI tools. So it's like a love-hate relationship where you have to mm-hmm. be careful. It could be threatening, but we are cooperating with it at the same time.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Central Digital Bank?
Yes, I have.
And supposedly the last administration that you were in, they were trying to push that as a latest currency, that people could be straight, totally on digital currency away from the dollar as we understand it. Did any of that run through the pipes over there?
I did hear speculation about as far as, again, accepting the concept and looking mm-hmm. forward to creating a digital bank. And so, again, it tells you that we can no longer completely reject it. We have to learn how to adapt to it. So it's becoming more of a bipartisan consensus among policymakers and the rest of the government that we should have a digital bank. And now you're definitely seeing under the current administration where they're pushing for this. And that's why I brought up cryptocurrency, because cryptocurrency mm-hmm. intersects well with, you know, the artificial intelligence industry. So lots to it. But again, we're moving away from we can no longer utilize these AI tools or cryptocurrency. It's not happening.
Well, you know, if you follow that, we could do a whole podcast about that money.
Yes.
That money deal and what's happening on it, because there's a thing in Christian community called the Great Reset.
Yes.
Where, you're familiar with it?
I'm somewhat familiar with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's basically that at some point people will not own anything and they'll be happy about it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so which is a train wreck getting ready to happen. Just because, you know what we like to do? We like to give people what's going on, talk to people like you that are in it, and get that information out there, and then we end up creating an action guide. But right now, based on everything you've been doing over at least the last couple months in this, what would you say to my audience to give them peace about AI and other than just paying attention? Because average human doesn't even, I mean, I use AI for certain things, but I haven't got a clue how it works. I just know that it works, right? So what would you say to this audience about giving them peace when they're looking down the pipe of that becoming a job replacement or whatever?
I would say first and foremost, the main thing is to educate yourself about artificial intelligence. It's an evolution to it. It's rapidly changing every day. So it's very important for the American people to read about it at credible sources, whether it's like think tanks or like a private company that really has the credibility and doesn't have misinformation or disinformation about AI. That's very important to note. And then also, I wouldn't put all my trust into it, and then I wouldn't completely reject it, right? So what I'm seeing in meetings, if you see that there's someone in a virtual meeting using a virtual assistant, that's fine, right? You can use a virtual assistant too as well. Also looking at the rise of autonomous vehicles, you know, cyber vehicles, yeah. you know, that is to a certain extent fine, you know, to adapt to. You might, you know, there, if you want to, if you get in a cab like Total Recall and you have, you know, a virtual cab driver driving you, that might not be a bad thing in the future. However, that does take a job away from a human, right? So there is some plus and minuses. I want to look at it as it's completely threatening to me. And then also, you as an American, you want America to lead in this effort when it comes to artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence reminds me of, you know, threats that sees no borders, right? That a lot of these online behavioral taskers are coming from everywhere, even overseas. So you want your children and government, the private sector, more people involved in this new industry and taking on the leadership worldwide. So as Americans, we can better regulate, set up the standards and norms when it comes to work with other countries, so that we can build up a better, more safeguarded use of artificial intelligence. Like, for instance, I agreed with President Biden during his last United Nations General Assembly. He said, we are going to have an artificial intelligence advisory group at the UN. I think that's a great idea because it brings all countries together to create standards and norms on how to adapt to AI. We need that. And we need to make sure that we're also exposed to what other countries are learning about AI when it comes to the advancement of these machine systems. So that's really, really important to note as far as that, because we do have some real competition when it comes to, especially the Chinese, where they're looking at AI tools involving renewable energy, nuclear energy. I mean, it has so many variations to it. And we want to make sure we understand the different sub-industries or sub-topics that fall under AI. So it's very important to keep in mind the evolution of it. It could be overwhelming, but again, for the most part, make sure you know how it applies to you at home when it comes to the use of it. How does it apply to you domestically, directly, right? So going back to cryptocurrency and using a database like Coinbase, you know, make sure that if you do use that, how do you protect yourself or safeguard yourself from AI threatening you from collecting, you know, your financial information, your private information. So be aware of those tools that can better safeguard you from them collecting from you. And there's a lot of information out there about it. It's just, the trick is to make sure that it's credible. It's not misinformation or disinformation.
Do you know if the government is setting up a department for this? For people to, oh really? What's it going to be called?
I don't know yet in terms of an actual agency, but within the agencies, like for instance, when I was at the State Department, they created a Department of Cyberspace. A lot of it underscored, artificial intelligence as far as working with other countries on how to create norms, standards, international law when it comes to working on AI. I know there's a lot of new sub-departments created within the Department of Defense, Commerce, as far as how to deal with artificial intelligence. And then outside of government, where you look at like the United Nations or other international organizations, United Nations has, you know, UNESCO that helps bring in other countries to come together on how to better safeguard yourself from artificial intelligence. So it's a lot of money behind a big push and like new departments that are being created. But I haven't seen where there's going to be an actual agency focusing on artificial intelligence.
Oh, you'll let me know first, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, this is a lot of good information. It's a lot to unpack, and I'm going to see what all I can get back into this action guide to help people. It's, again, we're trying to get peace about it, and so I was trying to find a simple way for them to say, okay, where's a clearinghouse to go out and find out? Like, I just downloaded a picture the other day. There's something like 20 personal AI programs you can download on your phone right now to use for every kind of thing. So how do people even know whether it's honest or not? So I guess it's just one step at a time, just like anything, protecting your family. So I appreciate you spending the time to do this. I know you're very busy and you got all these events to do, and we'll be back in touch with other things. And so I really appreciate you spending your time with us, and I really appreciate how you're getting information out, because yes, a lot of people are following what you put out about China. It's a big topic, and you're great fun, girl. We'll have to get together.
Yes, thank you so much.
Have a good day. I appreciate it. Please help us to help you be WWT informed.
China is going to be more of our enduring threat using coercion.
Who are the people that we can trust around us? The Bible tells us that in the end times, they're going to be able to follow anything that we do.
There's equipment on our grid that adversarial nations can flip off the switch.
It's already happening, so there's proof.
Are the American people going to rise up?
Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab, and we will send you advance notices about upcoming episodes and the threats to be discussed. We will provide you each week with an action guide that details everything that may help you and your family have peace over these threats.